First time, we are very grateful that you are here with us. We hope you've enjoyed yourself so far, and we invite you to come back and be a part of our church and the things that are going on around here. And it is good to have Renaldo with us, 7 days old, visiting us in the house of God. Congratulations on the birth of a fine, healthy young boy. And we're good to have Brother Ray back. He got in this weekend. And I'm thankful he's able to play the organ again with us today. So we've had a good blessing already this morning. We're going to be in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Don't forget the nursing home ministry is coming up this afternoon. And Tuesday we'll be printing the scriptures over in the scripture press. In the evening at 6:45, there'll be a few of us there in the morning trying to get everything prepared. We need to really finish up about 3,000 of the Creole so we can move right into the John and Romans in the evening hour when you come. So if you're available Tuesday morning about 8:30, that'd be a big blessing to help us just for a little bit to finish up the Creole. That's this Tuesday morning. All right, the Lord's given us a good day, hasn't He? Amen. It's a beautiful day in Florida. Thankful to be here. We could be covered in 10 feet of snow, but we are here in the sunshine of Florida. Boy, I've enjoyed this morning. You know, there's a big question that has been going around for several years now and has crept into our theological thinking, and many of our religious movies kind of hint at this a little bit. So I want to talk with you just a little bit this morning. I promise you we will not be long. I know I joke with y'all sometimes, say, well, we'll be out here by 2:30, but you know, I'm generally very timely on it because I understand your mind and heart can only absorb what your backside can endure. So I know that, and I do. So when I tell you we're going to be out here early, you might be surprised. I have actually prayed for about 7 minutes of preaching, and then I'll be done. I prayed about it. I don't know if God's going to let me, but I prayed about it. There's been this question about fatherhood, not earthly fatherhood. We need more men involved in the children. And I'll tell you, if you're a stepfather and you have stepped up to the plate, God bless you. If you're an uncle or, you know, a cousin, if you're a man of any sort that has stepped up to be a help to young kids without parents, God bless you. We need them. But I'm not talking about that father. When I say fatherhood, I'm talking about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood. Everybody's heard about brotherhood. I tell you, you get around military people, and there's that brotherhood. They talk. I mean, they could, you know, been out of the Army or Navy or Air Force or Marines or Coast Guard for 25, 30 years, and then all of a sudden the conversation goes right back into the military. You know, it's just that they call it the brotherhood. There it is. And there's other things, but I'm not talking about that kind of brotherhood. I'm talking about this teaching, and it's common teaching in this day, that God is the Father of all, which makes us all God's children. That's not biblical. And I'm thinking the reason it comes around that way and that it's been brought about. You remember, the devil is very wise. He's subtle than any beast of the field. That's how God described him. He has the wiles, I mean fiery darts. So I'm thinking that if he can get us to thinking that, hey, I'm God's child, I must be pretty good, must be okay, everything must be fine. So I want to touch on that today and look into this. In 1 John, now in John, Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12, this simple verse should be enough to help us understand that it's not true. This teaching that God is the Father of all and we're all brothers and sisters without anything that necessarily takes place or changes, then this verse should clear it up really clear. But God is so gracious and God is so wonderful that He has put throughout the Word of God scriptures that show us that this is not a true teaching. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, if I was born into this fleshly body, a son of God, like this teaching says, then why is it at a later date, sometime down the road, I must become a child of God? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become. So if this teaching was so, if it was a biblical, God-honoring Bible doctrine, if it was so, why would God write here that there is a way that He gives us power to become a son of God? Because it's not true. But the devil can get you to believing that there is a teaching or a thought, or there is, and we are all God's children. Then why do we need a Savior? Because if I'm His child, I'm always His child. But according to this, God gives us power to become His child. Now, here's the great difference. In Genesis chapter number 1, if you would, go there in verse number 26 real quick. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Now this is where it gets a little tricky. This is where the devil grabs it. He takes this verse and he says, see, God created you. He's the creator of all things. When it's convenient, the devil will use creation. When it's not convenient, when it doesn't fit his bill and doesn't fit his argument, then he throws out evolution. But to get us to think that we're all, and God is all of our fathers, he says, see, He is, God is creator of all things. That is an absolute truth. Nothing has evolved and took time and years and eons of centuries to become a man. God created man and in His likeness. So we are, and everyone is, God's creation. Look in Psalms 24. The Psalm chapter number 24. And listen to what the psalmist said. Psalm 24 and verse number 1. Psalms chapter 24 and verse number 1. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." We are God's by creation. He created us. But He didn't say there in Genesis 1, God created His children. God created man in His likeness. So we are a creation. We do belong to God. In Psalms 24, it says, "The world and they that dwell." God wants us to know, listen, we are His by creation. Just like the fish in the sea. Just like the fowl of the air. Just like the fields of the beast, the creeping and crawling things. They are God's by creation. But there's a great difference between the created things of this earth, the animals, the fish, and the bees, and the creeping things, the insects, and man. Man was created in the likeness of God. But that does not make God our Father. It makes God the owner of all creation. Go with me, if you would, to the book of John again. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Verse number 44. John chapter 8. So everyone is a creation of God. We didn't evolve around through some system of change and struggle and lose our tail, fall out of a tree, and stand up and become man. In the beginning, God created man. So we are God's creation. Here, John chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says this: "Ye are of your father, the devil." Wait a minute. This teaching is that God is the father of all. And maybe you haven't heard this, but I want you to be aware that there is this teaching. And the Word of God says, "Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Look with me in Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. Pastor, I don't like what you just said there. I didn't say it. I read the scripture. I hadn't opened my word. God said, "You are of your father, the devil." He said in John chapter 1, verse 12, he gives us power to become. You do not have to remain a child of the devil. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. The Bible says here, "The field is the world." This is a parable that's going on. And God says to us in verse 38, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom," the children of God. "But the tares are the children of the wicked one." So I want you to understand, just because you live in this body of flesh, and God is creator of this body, God is not your father. Let me think with me just for a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. Go over there, 1 Corinthians 6. Here's the proof, 1 John chapter 6, of how we live. First John chapter 6, verse 9. First Corinthians, sorry. Boy, why am I in First John all day I haven't been? Maybe I just need to go over and read First John and be quiet. First Corinthians 6. There's something in First John that we got to see, so I'm going to just have to get over there in a minute. First Corinthians 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of our God." Wow. Look at verse 12. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So the proof that we are not all born God's children is the fact of how we are and who we are. See, God is righteous. God is good. God is pure. God is without sin. That's why He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, because it had to be the righteous that would pay the sin debt for the unrighteous. Because of the way we act and the way we live and the fulfillment of the flesh, like it says over in Galatians chapter number 5, how the fruit of the flesh is this. You walk in the flesh and you do these certain things. That is the proof that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If not, when we were born into this world, we was born as this teaching goes, the child of God, we would all be good. We'd all be sinless. We'd all be just like Jesus. But we know we're not, because He said, such were some of you. He gave us power to become the sons of God. So here's the great question. Since we've got Bible, clear Bible, that this teaching is false, that this teaching is not accurate, it sounds good. I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you, but I'd like it when I was lost, back when I was not saved and lived a wicked life, I'd like to have been considered a child of God. I'm going to be honest with you, as much as some of us despise, I wouldn't have minded when I was lost. I wouldn't have minded Bill Gates was my father. I wouldn't care if Warren Buffett. I'll go even a step further, dear friend. I wouldn't care if George Soros was my brother, my father. Why? Because if he's my father, all that he is becomes mine, correct? I get to use all that. They got quite a bit. So, as a lost person, I'd like to have been, wow, it feels good. He's a child of God. She's a child of God. We're all just one big happy family. So why do we need a Savior? Since we're all the child of God. So we know it's not true. We saw God said in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil. So what has to happen? There has to be a new birth. John chapter 3, if you would. Now, it takes a physical birth to be part of the human family. When I was born of my mother, and my father was in Vietnam at the time, when the doctor did his thing, pulled me by my leg, popped me on the crying side, he didn't say, lo and behold, an amoeba. He said, Miss Stockton, you have a baby boy. You have a son. I was born into this world, just like you were born into this world, in the flesh, into the human race, by a physical birth. John chapter 3. We see here that Jesus is talking to a very intelligent religious man at the time. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. They didn't just throw out titles back then because they felt like you deserved it. Nicodemus had earned it. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, talking to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? So we have a very intelligent man, very intelligent question. It's something that needs to be asked. Nicodemus said, I don't quite understand this being born again. Can I climb back up into my mother's womb and be born again? Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It doesn't stop there. A lot of people stop reading there. Jesus goes on to explain himself. In verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That water birth When a child is born, carried in the mother's womb, God put a protective carrying surface around in the womb there, that water. And when the water breaks, we understand that that is drawing nigh to the birth. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And listen to what he says. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And I want to tell you this morning, marvel not that men and theological leaders and false teachers teach us that we are all the child of God. Don't be marveled at it. You say, wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that, but that's a good thing. So if I'm his child, I'll always be his child. Correct? Is that the thinking? Everybody's got some children that they know about, some parents that, and the parents try their best to love their children, raise them up, and sometimes, you know, they go astray, they do wrong things, they get out there and they get lost in this old world, and they get sidetracked, and some of them get downright mean and hateful. The fact of the matter is, doesn't matter how mean, hateful, sinful, or wicked they become, there will always be your child. Why? Physical birth. And these baloney, bonehead, moronic judges. Pastor, that's awful cruel and mean. Any judge that would allow a child to show up in a court and say, I want to divorce my parents and hear the case, needs to go back to law school. Back to preaching now. Before I get sidetracked on some of this craziness. Can I go on? I was getting confirmation. I'm talking to somebody. Folks walking around with these ear pods, talking to people that I don't know. God, can I go on or do I need to stay in part? Yeah. Brother Ray, what you think? You're back. Should I stay in part or move on? Let me tell you something, dear friend. Just because they're within power, just because they have education, just because they have position, if they speak contrary to that word, does not make them true. Amen. Not at all. So when you're born, it doesn't matter if the courts come along and say, this is no longer your father and your mother. When they do the DNA test, you're the father, you're the mother. You're the child. Because you're born into this human family from that couple. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. Why? Because he gave us power to become sons of God.
Amen.
So, there's some things that has to happen. And I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. Salvation is spontaneous. Instantaneous, as soon as faith and repentance and grace and mercy is received by the sinner and the giver, God Himself and the sinner, man or woman, when it's received, it's an instantaneous thing. You're born again into the family of God. But there's several things that are working at the same time. First, you got to hear the gospel. He's given us power. What's power? The gospel is the power to those who believe. He's given us power to become. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you hear it, and then you have to believe what you hear. You have to believe it. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You have to believe. This is the record. We believe what God says. I'm a sinner. I failed and transgressed His law. I'm not of His family. My father at this point, before I get saved, is the devil. And I will spend eternity with him in this place called hell. So I'm hearing. I'm believing. And then he says to us in 1 Peter, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen.
This is not a separate thing. This is all happening at the same time. It's happening as God works in the heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So you hear the truth, you hear the gospel, and then the faith seed is planted and it gets down into the heart. You believe it, you say, God, I am sorry that I have sinned and transgressed your law. I was born into this world a sinner. And he says, I give them power to become. I receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, all that's happening, Pastor, at the same time. Oh, that's not over, dear friend. There's more that's going on than we can imagine at the new birth. But it's all in it's a bang. It's happening by faith in the heart. We repent, we trust God, we hear the truth, and we're saved. It's not a process. We don't work our way through it and get down the road and grab a little bit more. That is the watering and that is the planting. But when God brings the increase, dear friend, it's immediate. I'm transplanted, I'm regenerated, I'm born again into the family of God. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. So, Pastor, it's not all over. No, dear friend, there's a whole bunch going on. We only get to rejoice with what we are seeing and hearing, what we're involved in down on this earth. And the only thing we're really involved in, dear friend, is the sowing and the planting. It's God and the Spirit working and wooing. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness of our spirit, and that we are the children of God. It just reset itself a while ago. I see some folks fanning. Didn't know if it was menopause or if it was heat. When I saw men fanning, I said, uh-oh. We're in trouble. Let's read again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Remember, there's the spirit, there's the fleshly birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. There's the spirit birth and it's taking place. You've heard, you received, you believed, you repented, and you're trusted Christ. And in your heart, there's a work of righteousness that's taking place. Listen to what it says in verse 17. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Look with me over in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. Verse number 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So how's this power, when John wrote, but He's given us power to become the sons of God, dear friend, there's a lot of work taking place on God's side in all this. See, it was the finished work of Calvary where Christ on the cross paid our sin debt. He died. He said, it is finished. They didn't kill Him. He gave up His Ghost. He died 3 days late in the tomb. 3 days later, by the power of God, rose again. And those who believe and trust in Christ, the finished work of Christ, they hear the gospel of the truth. They believe it. They receive it. They repent at the same time. And different at the very same moment, the process is, I'm no longer a child of the devil. I'm a child of God by adoption. That's a lot of stuff going on. But Jesus did a whole lot for us on the cross of Calvary. That we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yeah, you are gods by creation. But this morning, dear friend, if you're sitting here and you've never heard the gospel of truth and believed it and agreed with God, said, God, I am sorry. I am a sinner. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you receive that gift. Or by grace are you saved. What does it say? By faith. Not of what? Lest what? Any man should boast. You receive that gift. You receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ given to us by God. And at that moment we are born again. That one's born of the flesh, that's completely different. You're a human. I look out here and I don't see no half nothings. You're all human. Every one of us are human. Born of the flesh. They're going to tell you, dear friend, if you're not born of the Spirit and you go into eternity today, you'll spend eternity in hell. Because He's given us power to become the sons of God. Not by works of righteousness which we can do, but according to His mercy. And that regeneration and that adoption. See, we hear it so often. You say, boy, it's a whole lot going on. When God talks about being born again, dear friend, there's a lot going on. Spiritually speaking, in the heart that we cannot even fathom. And you're born into the family of God. And your heir and joint heir with Christ. Equal. Why? Not because we're good, but because Christ in us the hope of glory. Amen. So you are a creation of God. But listen to me. So is the devil. Don't buy into it. All that are created are in God's family. Don't buy into it. The devil was created by God. He's a created being. And he'll spend eternity in hell. He knows it. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. It also says hell hath enlarged itself. That's because so many reject Christ. And they buy into this works of salvation. They buy into this, I'm in God's family. No, they're great. You have to be born into God's family. Spiritually born. All creations of God, dear friend, won't end up in heaven. So that's not a nice God you're talking about there. Oh, dear friend, He gave His only begotten Son. He gave the best of the best. There was none worthy except the Lamb. He paid a dear price for you to become the Son of God. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Candace is coming. Brother Jim's going to lead us a song of invitation. Maybe there's some decisions you got to make. Maybe there's just some coming down to say, thank you, Lord, that I'm in your family by birth, spiritual birth. Lord, I somehow have thought all my life that I was okay, that I'm part of your family. But I realize today that I need Jesus Christ as my Lord. Ray has come back and he wants to present himself for membership back here at Lock Haven from First Baptist of Diptonville. I'd like to make a motion to do so and bring him back into our family. So I have a motion to do that. Brother Carl Price, second Brother Scott Henders, all in favor? Any opposed? All right. Y'all welcome Brother Ray back in. Ladies, don't forget to get with my wife and let her know how many's coming to the thing. Is that next Saturday, brother?
Yes, sir.
as we're moving right up on it, next Saturday. All ladies, young ladies, old ladies, middle-aged ladies, however you consider yourself, all of you are beautiful. Let my wife know, because you will be hungry, no matter your age, if you show up and they don't know you're coming. So take care of that. That would be a big blessing. Father, we love you. We thank you for this afternoon that we've had to worship you. We thank you, Brother Ray, for rejoining us. We pray, God, you'll prosper our lives, Lord, as we serve you and we honor you with our lives. Lord, for that one that's being dealt with right now, may she be able to hear and receive with clarity your plan, Lord, for her life, and that is that she be born again. And I pray, God, you'd help her, help my wife to give a clear path of Scripture that she can have her heart joined into the agreement with your word and be born again right here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.